Blog Talk Radio.
James Bostic here with a conservative's perspective, and I just hung up on my damn self. I hate it when I do. Okay, anyway, it's good to be here with you. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, do yourself a favor, because you should be. It is the very best in libertarian conservative talk radio that you're going to find out there. Well, man, all kinds of crazy stuff happening out there. Let's go ahead and get started with everybody's favorite press secretary. Get a load of this.
You are opening up new facilities. One of the options that's being reported over the weekend is spending $86 million on hotel rooms for some migrants and feeding them. How do you square that with the National Guard troops who were sleeping in parking garages and, you know, some of them got sick from having contaminated food? That's a disparity a lot of people are pointing out, that our National Guard was treated one way and then illegal immigrants are going to be put in hotel rooms.
Well, first let me say that at the time when we became aware of the conditions, National Guard troops
and when
were
aware of the conditions?
In parking garages, as you noted. The president called the head of the National Guard that day and offered his assistance, offered to play any role that he could play, boosting morale, asking for more aid, making sure they had the right, were treated in the way that they deserved for the incredible role they played. So I know that was some time ago, but that was the reaction he took at the time.
Oh, Psaki. It's like some really snooty junior high chick that's doing a book report on something she never read. But that's not all that we have from Jen. Jen got another one from me. This is another one that kills me.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. I just kind of want to pick up on Jen's questioning over there. Is the White House or DHS instructing border agents to refuse ride-along requests from reporters? Because that's what a lot of our folks on the ground are hearing.
Again, I think we've seen, watching a number of the reports you all do, a number of Border Patrol officials who are quoted in them, who appear in them, and certainly from the White House, we support that. It's coordinated through the Department of Homeland Security, and I'd point you to them for any additional questions about the logistics of press access.
But, I mean, our reporters used to be able to get ride-alongs during the Trump administration, mm-hmm. and you all came in and promised to be the most truthful and transparent administration, and you all, you know, oversee the Department of Homeland Security. So if you all wanted to grant access to the press, couldn't you just tell DHS to do it?
Again, we fully support transparency, and I would encourage you to talk to the Department of Homeland Security about any requests you have for
nothing.
Press access or
bullshit.
You're looking to accomplish at the
blah, 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 blah. Okay. Hey, Jen, is it true that you guys told DHS and Border Patrol not to talk to us? Well, I'm not going to give you an answer on that. Talk to them. They said talk to you. Okay, next question. And that's what you got from the most transparent, purest, most honest, sweetest, most considerate, most forthcoming, most compassionate, most intelligent administration in the entire galactic empire. And that's, but wait, this is the thing that caught me this morning. I wasn't really sure about this. And the more I thought about it, and I thought, what on earth is this all about? Yesterday. Now, what's going on? Okay, there were places, there are border security facilities down there, internment facilities, detention facilities where these people are being held that are operating, and I'm not making this up, 600-700% that's how much they're overloaded. They're operating at 600% occupancy. Another number I heard was 800%. But don't worry. It's not a crisis. The Biden administration has told us it's not a crisis. And by the way, next Tuesday, he's back. Yeah, and he's overdue. I'm talking with our friend today, Mike Cutler, about everything that's going on. He's always really good to send me articles that he's written or programs that he's been on. And you guys, keep your eyes open because I'm going to tell you right now, Michael Cutler's star is back in the ascendancy. And here's what's going on. There is nobody in the country. Absolutely. Nobody in the country who is as much an authority on immigration and what exactly is happening with our immigration system today than Michael Cutler. And it's already started. In the last couple, he's been on Dave Webb. He's been on, I think One American News Network. It was either One American News Network or Newsmax, one of the two. And they had some technical difficulties where he got bumped the first time, and then they ran him again, and he got in there. He's been on Oplands with friends Rocky Stucci, Don Ewan, and Donna Fiducia. you're going to be seeing them more on Fox. You're going to be seeing them more on the cable news. As this immigration thing, if they have any sense, this is the guy they want to talk to. And we're going to be talking with him Tuesday night. I was talking with him today. And he had sent me an article, and I said, well, you know, I hope you don't have a whole lot to do with your time, because I expect with the way that the Biden administration is engineering things at the border, your expertise and opinions are going to be in a much higher demand than they have been lately. By the way, are you free on Tuesday? But Mike's our friend, and he'll, you know, if he can be with us anytime, he can, because he really likes coming on the program, and he appreciates you guys as listeners. So next Tuesday. Anyway, back to what I was talking about this morning. Now, this happened yesterday, but I heard about it this morning. Let me see if I can find it here. This is interesting on a number of levels. I just want you to listen to it. Let me pull it up. Okay, there it is. All right, this is from yesterday. This was at not a presser, but, well, here we go. Here's what's going on. We don't have to worry about a thing.
But I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle.
Speak up, you tired old
and
man.
And countries help us. We're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border. And, you know, back when I was vice president, I got a similar assignment, but one of the things we did,
yeah, I saw what I did with that.
Was we made sure that we got a bipartisan agreement with Democrats and Republicans to provide over $700 million to the countries in the Northern Triangle to determine the best way to keep people from coming is keep them from
build
wanting to
leave. Build a wall.
And the reason why so many people were leaving, we learned, was that not only gang violence and trafficking cartels, but natural disasters, hurricanes, floods, earthquakes. And so it's not like someone sits around a hand-hewn table somewhere in Guatemala and says, I got a great idea, let's sell everything we have, give the money to a coyote, have them take our kids or us to the border of America,
super
across,
genius.
Leave us in the desert, we don't speak the language. Won't that be fun? One of the ways we learned is that if you deal with the problems in country, it benefits everyone. It benefits us, it benefits
well,
people.
Well, we were dealing with the problems in country by leaving those people, that, you know, you apply where you're at and you stay there till you're called. Stupid. Kamala Harris is now in charge of the border. Yeah, round heels. That Kamala Harris, she is in charge of the border. Exactly. I would imagine up until she got to the White House, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, neither one probably remembered where the southern border was or exactly what the hell was going on. This woman, Willie Brown's chew toy, couldn't even carry her own damn state in a primary. Now, granted, Joe Biden's always been a dumbass, and now that he is genuinely struggling in the cognition department, we can make certain allowances for some of the stupid things he does, because he has a lifetime of stupidity, plus the old man's mind is gone. Kamala Harris, there's no excuse. That is a perfectly good brain rolling around in that giant cranial cave up there. But it doesn't know a damn thing. She's on with Gayle King. This is... these people expect us take them seriously. This was this morning on some CBS crap show with Gayle King and middle-aged white guy. with a really
good
voice.
Let's take a look at what's happening at the border. Rightly or wrongly, people are coming in record numbers because they believe the Biden administration has encouraged certainly children to come. What are you going to do about that? It's chaotic. Some are calling it a crisis. And you all, your team is under fire because both Republicans and Democrats said, look, if you're going to change the Trump policy, the previous policy, at least have a game plan. And there doesn't appear right now to be a game plan.
Well, actually, I think there
okay,
is.
Look, it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend it's not. It's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And are there, are we looking at overcrowding at the border, particularly these kids? Yes. Should these kids be in the custody of HHS, the Health and Human Services, instead of the Border Patrol? Yes. Should we be processing these cases faster? Yes. This is, however, not going to be solved overnight. There are things that we need to do, especially since there was a system in place previously, before the last administration, to allow us to process these kids in their country of origin.
Yep.
That was dismantled. We have to reconstruct it. It's not going to happen overnight, but, you know, we have senior administration officials right now in Mexico and Guatemala also dealing with, in addition to what needs to happen at the border.
Will you and the president be going down to the border anytime soon?
At some point,
hell no.
Go down to the border, and I've been down to the border. And our Secretary of the Homeland Security, Alex Mayorkas, has been down there twice. Senior administration officials have been down there. And, yes, we will go. But the reality also is that, in addition to the border, we also need to deal with the root causes.
Yes.
We need to deal with what's happening in the Northern Triangle and address it in a way that is about not only diplomacy but bringing our allies together, dealing with what we need to do around aid in a way that is about developing those countries so that we also deal with the cause of why people are coming into our country.
That's a long-term proposition. In the meantime, there are 500 children.
But we can't give up on that.
I understood that there are 500 children a day, and we don't have enough housing already who are crossing into the border. What do we do in the meantime to stop it?
Well, we
cages.
Do what we need to
we're
do to actually reconstruct
cages.
The systems, Anthony, that are about processing
kids.
These cases.
That is
taking some time. Look, we've been in office less than 100 days. We're addressing it. We're dealing with it. But it's going to...
Okay, Cammy, that's... Yeah, okay, we got it. They express... They, honest to God, look in these cameras with straight faces and expect us to accept these bullshit answers as something substantive. Now, here's what I'm thinking. And it's just on one facet. And there are a number of heads out there, mine included, who have been telling you guys for the last couple of years that there's been a serious fracturing, a splintering, a civil war, really, if you want to put it that way, within the Democrat Party. Similarly, within the Republican Party as well. We see that. We saw that with the ascendancy of Donald Trump. And the Trump supporters and these people who embrace common sense conservatism, who embrace racial free nationalism, and the establishment GOP rhinos, the go-alongs, the get-alongs, the guys that are in Washington, they've been there long enough now, you know, they're no longer concerned. Their constituency has shrunk to their immediate family and the lobbyists who, you know, write the bills that these guys get paid to vote for. Well, the same thing's going on. Similar thing's going on. You have the extreme left, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez types, the Ariana Presleys, the ball-headed chick and the other one with the big mouth. Ilhan Omar, the ball-headed chick, and Rashida Tlaib. But those are just good examples of what's going on with the left, the extreme left, in what is now, you know, that's the mainstream Democrat Party. Okay, that Democrat Party that your dad and your uncles voted for when they were working in the coal mines and the steel mills and the automotive industry in the 60s and 70s, dead, man. Deader than 4 o'clock. Deader than George McGovern. And what you have is this extreme left-wing fruit bat ideology, Marxism, okay? Trevor Loudon tells us about it on Gary's show a couple of weeks back. Trevor's going to be with us soon. Marxism, that's what's going on the left. They're not liberals, not in the classic sense of the word. Thomas Jefferson is a great example of a classical liberal. Do you see any Thomas Jeffersons on the left today? No, those guys are tearing down statues of Thomas Jefferson. These are leftists. They're not liberals by any stretch of the imagination. And it is an insult to legitimate and true, like I said, classical liberals that these guys, you know, assume that moniker. But back to what I was talking about, there are all these internecine struggles within the Democrat Party. Looking for power. Okay, you have those four nincompoops I was telling you about, and they're jockeying for power against the old guard, against the Nancy Pelosi's, against the Chuck Schumer's, the Feinsteins, the Boxers. Well, what if we extend that fight into the West Wing? What if? Maybe it's not Joe Biden, who fully understands the threat to him, but maybe it is members of the Biden cadre who like having Joe in there. Okay, they can get a lot of things done with a guy like Joe in there. He's like, you know, Myron J. Lepetiman from Blazing Saddles. Go see the movie. And thank God that you can, because the people that we're talking about would not allow this movie to be made, would not allow that movie to be made today. So they're thinking to themselves, how do we, you know, Kamala's young. Joe's old. Joe's mind is gone. Kamala is stupid, but she's got a mind. I really like being in Washington. Fellas, look, the team Biden, look, we got to come up with some way to protect our phony baloney bullshit jobs. And so what if they do this? How can she win in this situation with this particular issue? Again, a hot button issue throughout the country. And people want that border closed. People are concerned about what's going on. They're worried about the lawlessness at the border. And basically, you know, the cartels are running our border policy. They're going into these poor areas in these provinces in Mexico, in these states in Mexico. And they're telling families, you know, they're $400 for Jose. We'll put him with another boy and girl and a man and woman like a family. And we'll get him across the border. He will get into America. He'll have a better shot than you. We'll give you $400 for us to do this. And so they sell the kids. And they're put together in these composite families. And they're sent over the border. These women, these kids, raped every yard of the way. I don't have anything to say about it. Round Heels Harris, Heels Up Harris, is in charge of this problem. She's got what it takes. So my thinking is this. If she actually tries to do a creditable job on closing the border, on stopping this influx of illegal aliens into the United States, she's going to incur the wrath and gain the enmity of the left, because that is not what they want. However, you and I, well, that's something that you and I very much want. And we know that Kamala Harris is simply not capable of doing this. And even if she were competent and capable enough to do it, their ideology will not permit it. How many times has Michael Cutler told us that the immigration system is not broken? It's working exactly the way they want it to. What's happening down there? Yes, it is a crisis to you and I, to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the rest of the Democrats and that progressive leftist cultural Marxist commie bastard group. It's working perfectly. There's no crisis. Everything is moving along exactly as we have planned. She can't win. And since she can't win, this will remain a scar, a stain, if you will, upon any chances for re-election. But if she tries to do anything about it, I guarantee you she will be moved out at the first opportunity and someone more cooperative, shall we say, which is hard to believe. Ask Willie Brown. Kamala's pretty damn cooperative. So and I'm just wondering, and does she even know, is she even politically aware enough to understand what's just happened to her? And I guess really she's in a and another question. She called him Alex Mayorkas, but is really Alejandro Mayorkas. Isn't that his damn job? Isn't he? He's Homeland Security, which is where the border, which is, you know, the auspices under which Border Patrol falls. Shouldn't he be in charge of this? Of course, he doesn't know any damn thing about it either. Not dead air. I'm here. I'm just thinking about things. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't think there's going to be anything happen. I don't think there's going to be. It's going to get to a point where the optics on this entire thing are going to become unbearable, even for the Biden administration. And at some point, they're going to act. And when they do, it's going to be too little, too late. And this is going to exacerbate the situation down at the border with these poor people. Have you seen the pictures? It's worse than 2014. It's worse. The Border Patrol people are overwhelmed. There's no COVID assessments. There's no COVID vaccine. They're moving these people all over the country, and they're not checking for COVID. They don't care about COVID. They're banking on it. They send these people all over the interior of the country looking for lockdowns again. Yeah, yeah, conspiracy theories. I know. Andrew Cuomo much? Well, we're now at the bottom of the hour, and quite frankly, I need to take a break from all this. So we will be back with more of Conservatives' Perspective as soon as I find something to play. And you are listening to ACP here with James Bostic on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We are here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. And we do a recorded version of the show Sundays at 4 p.m. on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. And we're here Tuesdays and Thursdays live 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Finally found a song. We'll be back after this.
Charlie dealt in pharmaceuticals. Charlie used to sell me pills. Yesterday his sister called to tell me he'd been killed. Some respectable doctor from Beverly Hills shot him through the heart. Charlie never felt a thing. Neither of them did. Poor kid.
Tune. Warren Zevon once again, Charlie's Medicine from the 1984 classic album, The Envoy. Yes, that Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London. James Bostic here. Welcome back to A Conservative's Perspective, such as it is this evening. It's good to be here with you. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The recorded incarnation of the program goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you ain't listening, by God, you better start, because it's the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. Wow. There was a lot of stupid in the first half of the program. And not much of it mine for a change. most of it was the White House. From the office of the president throughout the cabinet and the vice presidents, there are no nothings and also rans sagging the floors. That's how many of them there are. Patricia McCarthy, a frequent contributor over at American Thinker, had an article. It was today or yesterday. Today. Today's 25th. 20, yeah, today. Found out this morning. Great stuff. These are the people, again, no nothings, also rans. These are second and third string scrubs, retreads that have been recycled through, you know, the last two Clinton and Joe Obama administrations. These aren't even the top tier people. No. And the article starts out like this. It's pretty good, really. And I've got some clips to go with it as well. Susan Collins, Rhino, and Lisa Murkowski, also Rhino, once again, have betrayed the American people, and they have voted to confirm one of the most insidious persons ever nominated to a cabinet position. Rachel Levine. Levine will now be the Assistant Secretary of Health, and Levine was as toxic as New York Governor Cuomo when it came to rendering Pennsylvania nursing homes super spreaders of COVID. But while doing and enacting the same policies that Andy Cuomo, that Benito Nipolini enacted in New York, she put her own mom in a hotel. And she knew what she was doing just as surely as Cuomo did. Just as surely as Cuomo directed his health department to prioritize vaccinations for himself and his family in front of grandma. No, not the grandma that he killed, the other grandma that he didn't get to. Now, Levin is a, transgender fellow. And these people are radical as hell. And in the confirmation hearing, there was a back and forth with Rand Paul. And it's pretty good. We're going to go ahead and play that in conjunction with what we got here. Now, there is a lot to condemn about this appointment. All we have to do is look at Levin's tenure as Secretary of Health in the state of Pennsylvania during the COVID pandemic. That should be enough. But even more serious, more egregious than Levin's performance there is Levin's promotion of medication and surgery for prepubescent children with gender dysphoria. Now, you and I, being fundamentally sane, rational people, we realize that this is probably one of the more despicable forms of child abuse that has currently won favor among trans activists. Now, that's a pretty safe bet that Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins know full well that the vast majority of this country, folks just like you and I, cannot support such extremist views. But apparently, Murkowski and Susan Collins have decided that they need to appear woke to a specific level. Let's see, Rand, where'd you go? Okay, here we are. This is from like 2 weeks ago, but I played it before. But and just listen to what Rand Paul says. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like Rand Paul. I get it. But when you're right, you're right. And the guy's right. This is the interplay between Rick Levine and Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky a couple of weeks ago during the confirmation hearings for the Assistant Secretary of Health position.
Genital mutilation has been nearly universally condemned. Genital mutilation has been condemned by the WHO, the United Nations Children's Fund, the United Nations Population Fund. According to the WHO, genital mutilation is recognized internationally as a violation of human rights. Genital mutilation is considered particularly egregious because, as the WHO notes, it is nearly always carried out on minors and is a violation of the rights of children. Most genital mutilation is not typically performed by force, but as WHO notes, that by social convention, social norm, the social pressure to conform, to do what others do and have been doing, as well as the need to be accepted socially and the fear of being rejected by the community. American culture is now normalizing the idea that minors can be given hormones to prevent their biological development of their secondary sexual characteristics. Dr. Levine, you have supported both allowing minors to be given hormone blockers to prevent them from going through puberty, as well as surgical destruction of a minor's genitalia. Like surgical mutilation, hormonal interruption of puberty can permanently alter and prevent secondary sexual characteristics. The American College of Pediatricians reports that 80 to 95% of prepubertal children with gender dysphoria will experience resolution by late adolescence if not exposed to medical intervention and social affirmation. Dr. Levine, do you believe that minors are capable of making such a life-changing decision as changing one's sex?
Well, Senator, thank you for your interest in this question. Transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field with robust research and standards of care that have been developed. And if I am fortunate enough to be confirmed as the Assistant Secretary of Health, I will look forward to working with you and your office and coming to your office and discussing the particulars of the standards of care for transgender medicine.
The specific question was about minors. Let's be a little more specific since you evaded the question. Do you support the government intervening to override the parent's consent to give a child puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and or amputation surgery of breasts and genitalia? You have said that you're willing to accelerate the protocols for street kids. I'm alarmed that poor kids with no parents who are homeless and distraught, you would just go through this and
vulnerable
allow that to happen
innocent
to a minor. I would hope that you would have compassion for Kira Bell, who's a 23-year-old girl who was confused with her identity. At 14, she read on the internet about something about transsexuals. She thought, well, maybe that's what I am. She ended up getting these puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. She had her breast amputated. But here's what ultimately she says now, and this is a very insightful decision from someone who made a mistake but was led to believe this was a good thing by the medical community. I made a brash decision as a teenager, as a lot of teenagers do, trying to find confidence and happiness, except now the rest of my life will be negatively affected, she said, adding that the medicalized gender transitioning was a very temporary, superficial fix for a very complex identity issue. What I'm alarmed at is that you're not willing to say absolutely minors shouldn't be making decisions to amputate their breast or to amputate their genitalia. For most of our history, we have believed that minors don't have full rights and the parents need to be involved. So I'm alarmed that you won't say with certainty that minors should not have the ability to make the decision to take hormones that will affect them for the rest of their life. Will you make a more firm decision on whether or not minors should be involved in these decisions?
Senator, transgender medicine is a very complex and nuanced field, and if confirmed to the position of Assistant Secretary of Health, I would certainly be pleased to come to your office and talk with you and your staff about the standards of care and the complexity of this field.
Let it go into the record that the witness refused to answer the question. The question is a very specific one. Should minors be making these momentous decisions? For most of the history of medicine, we wouldn't let you have a cut sewn up in the ER, but you're willing to let a minor take things that prevent their puberty, and you think they get that back? You give a woman testosterone enough that she grows a beard, you think she's going to go back looking like a woman when you stop the testosterone? You have permanently changed them. Infertility is another problem. None of these drugs have been approved for this. They're all being used off-label. I find it ironic that the left that went nuts over hydroxychloroquine being used possibly for COVID are not alarmed that these hormones are being used off-label. There's no long-term studies. We don't know what happens to them. We do know that there are dozens and dozens of people who've been through this who regret that this happened and a permanent change happened to them. And, you know, if you've ever been around children, 14-year-olds can't make this decision. In the gender dysphoria clinic in England, 10% of the kids are between the ages of 3 and 10. We should be outraged that someone's talking to a 3-year-old about changing their sex. I can't vote for you if you can't.
Thank you so much, Senator Paul. Senator Levine, thank you for answering.
We are all beginning to realize too late that being woke basically is a form of mass hysteria. And it is meant to undermine every essential tenet of Judeo-Christian values. Being woke means that you have to adopt the new rules of the cancel culture. You have to remake America according to the whims of BLM and Antifa. Black Lives Matter, a Marxist, anti-American, anti-nuclear family organization that is specifically pro-transgender. So, Collins and Murkowski have revealed their anti-Americanism, a blatant betrayal of their constituents. The question of the day really is, why have any Republicans voted to confirm any of Biden's cabinet appointees? Every one of them, every single one of them has been chosen not for their expertise in any particular sphere of influence, but for their radicalism. The further left they are, the better they are in Biden's view, or those people running Biden. Javier Becerra probably belongs in prison. Now, we got to go back a little ways. There was a fellow in the that worked extensively with House Democrats, and he was their IT man. He was their internet tech guy, and his name was Imran Awan. And Imran Awan had a brother, and actually there were about four brothers. And what they did is they gained access by, and I think they did it. They gained access to getting this gig through Debbie Jazz Hands Wasserman Schultz. And she was in the House of Representatives in Florida. So now we're going back into the probably the second term of the last 8 years that Joe was there. The second term of the Obama administration. Well, this guy had passwords. He had Debbie Wasserman Schultz's password. They had passwords to all these other Democrats and their laptops. And these guys were key guys. These guys were people that were on like the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, on Homeland Security. And they ravaged that system for its information. Needless to say, Imran Awan and his brothers, Muslims, got away with it. Javier Becerra was part of that. Attorney General Merrick Garland could not admit that crossing the border illegally was in fact illegal. He actually said that the Antifa terrorists who tried to burn down a federal courthouse in Portland were not terrorists because they did it at night. See, all the judges and everybody was gone. They weren't trying to kill anybody. They weren't creating terror. They were just, goofing off. Secretary of State Blinken, I don't know if you guys heard about this, met with the Chinese delegation in Alaska and made an utter fool of himself. It was embarrassing. And again, what have I been saying since they decided they were going to give this thing to Joe? Our enemies rejoice at the fecklessness, at the ineptitude, at the corruption in the White House. And once again, Alejandro Mayorkas, the new Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, which apparently he doesn't have to worry about the border because Kamala's going to be, she's on that. Our very own Baghdad Bob, Alejandro Mayorkas. No crisis at the border. There is no crisis at the border. You guys have seen the pictures, okay? And if you haven't seen the pictures, you can Google them. They've been what's that guy's name? Project Veritas, James O'Keefe. James O'Keefe started publishing pictures on Monday. And more have come out. Remember what they showed us that was so terrible and what was supposed to revile and horrify us from 2016 and 2017 that were really from 2014, again, the Obama administration's second term. It's worse. It's worse. I'm not kidding. It's worse. Fortunately, I guess now we know who's buying up all those damn space blankets. The government. Would you not like to have the space blanket contract with the government? You wouldn't have to do another damn thing. Just crank out Mylar, baby. Loads and loads of Mylar. Does this guy, he is about as qualified for the Department of Homeland Security as Pete Buttigieg is for the Department of Transportation. They're talking to Buttigieg at a hearing concerning the pipeline shutdown and the massive economic devastation that does all the way across the country to you and me, but more importantly, to those folks in that first tier. The roughnecks, the welders, the riggers, the pipeline guys, the guys that are actually doing this work. These are outstanding union jobs, good paying union jobs. They got shut off overnight. And what does Pete Buttigieg say when questioned about the loss of these fantastic paying union jobs? Well, our hope is that in time, they will be able to find other good-paying union jobs. That was his answer. That's their plan. That's their solution. We're going to hope. We're going to hope they can do better. Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense. His job, apparently, is to purge the military of any and all Christians and conservatives. He's vowed to protect us all from those Trump supporters that he and the Democrats have decided, you and me, you and I, that have decided we're domestic terrorists. He's already sent troops to Syria and stopped those who were set to return home from Afghanistan from leaving the country. We're going to be at war somewhere soon. Democrats are itching for it. Pete Buttigieg couldn't run the city of South Bend, the murder capital of the world. Secretary of Transportation, one of the most crucial agencies in all the cabinet. God. Now, there are a whole lot of other guys just as equally deficient as these people that we've talked about. Most have been confirmed with the help of enough effete and cowardly Republicans who are more afraid of bad press than they fear destruction of the country. People like Murkowski and Collins, honestly, I don't think, well, they're so disconnected anyway, They cannot even imagine, I don't think, the level of disdain and contempt that conservative and conservative right Americans feel for them. And not only them, but each and every Republican who voted to confirm these pathetic, completely unqualified nominees to such serious high-level positions. And of course, Kamala Harris, she's going to be running things at the border. So I don't, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. Again, my prediction, he's going to be gone. He's going to be gone by the end of the summer. If he makes it into autumn, if Joe Biden is still around come football season, I will be surprised. Of course, today in the presser, he said he was going to be running. He'll be running for re-election in 2024. He will be 82.
Come on, man.
Exactly. Exactly. 82 years old.
Come on, man.
We live in interesting times, America. We really, really do. The more dependent, I'll just say this in closing, the more dependent citizens are on the government, we all know, the more power over us, you know, they'll get, you know, they take away. And all that's good. The less power we have, the better it is for that global reset that they lust after so much. As Dennis Prager says, the bigger the government, the smaller the person. And unless Republicans, real true Republicans, decide to dig in, to show a little backbone and fight for what is right, and that is the constitutional principles that have been bequeathed to us by the founders, we're not going to make it. No buts, no ifs, ors. If we do not dig in, if we do not fight for those constitutional principles bequeathed to us by the founders, we are not going to make it. He's here. That's right. There's only one, and that's him. He's here. El Guapo is with us. He's in the house. The handsome one himself, Mark Hoffman. Hey, Mark. How we doing, man?
What's happening, James? You know what's happening. We got Bumbling Joe.
Oh, God.
We're in deep crap with this clown.
Yeah, but only till autumn. And then they'll bring in somebody else that's going to, like, open up the trap door, and we'll be in even deeper crap.
And
I swear, I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think he'll make it to the end of the summer. Honest to God, don't.
And that will be...
But he says he's running for re-election. He thinks he can beat that damn Nixon.
You mean Lincoln?
Yeah. After what Douglas did to him in the debates, Lincoln's not a problem. I tell you what, we're already down to it, man. I don't want to goof off too much with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Hoffman here. He's got a terrific show with you this evening. Angelmont Marianne Mendoza will be with him. Again, touching on the same thing that we've touched on the border crisis. And make no mistake, kids, it is a crisis. Jefe, mi amigo, have a terrific show. I'll get out of here.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another fine episode of A Conservative's Perspective with my good pal and counterpart in crime here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, James Bostic. Heard two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Standard Time. And he's doing great stuff. You heard that episode right there. That was not messing around. He speaks the truth from the conservative perspective. That's James Bostic. And don't forget, we have Gary Binford, and he'll be coming on here this coming Monday with United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford every other alternating Monday right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And I did see our good friend, Gonzalo Duran. He had a great organization that he created. I forget the exact name of it, something to do with devil dogs there. And he was a homeless vet, and he created this organization and rose himself up out of the ashes, and now he's successful and living a prosperous life. You know, I mean, as prosperous as can be expected in these times. And that's just the way it is. Gonzalo Duran, we're looking forward to having you back here on the show, on the network. And we're doing great things, and we love our gig. It's a lot of fun. There you go. That's just that beautiful.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, guys, and don't forget, our good friend Dave Bray's got another song coming out here on the 30th. Oh, my goodness, Simple Man. I think it's Simple Man is the name of the song. Oh, my goodness, Dave, I'm sorry. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I came out because I was looking at my soundboard, and you're on the soundboard, and that's at DaveBrayUSA.com.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention, thanks, conservatives. Gary. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Social media without the libtard rhetoric.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
That's right. That's Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. So check it out. Merchandise and music. New stuff coming out on the 30th. Check it out. He's doing some fun stuff. Always doing great things. And, of course, I don't know if you listen to my counterpart, James Bostic, and his show, but we are talking about the border crisis. It is a crisis, ladies and gentlemen. Project Veritas and James O'Keefe getting the exclusive photographs. And all they did was put the cages in tents and then barred the media from going inside to see what the heck was going on. And so, of course, the greatness that is James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, they got the photographs, and they are not playing around. It's doing good stuff. Project Veritas blowing the whistle and showing what's really going on. These people are coming in. It's a super spreader event. Just as COVID-19 is taking a turn, around the corner, as Fauci says there, it's at the corner. It's not around the corner yet, but we're at the corner. No, we're getting around the corner. So let's bring in all these COVID positives, Guatemalans and Central Americans, Ecuadorians, or whoever's coming. Let's get them all over here with all their COVID-19 and send them out into the population. Off they go. And it's really just a horrendous, horrendous thing what's taking place right now at the border. And they're saying that they inherited this mess from President Trump. Excuse me, but last I checked, on January 20th, people were coming because they knew their free pass was there. Their man made it, and they knew it was time to start heading out. But for two out of the 4 years, you know, once he got so much wall built and got enough security and started funding stuff and stopped the tide of illegal immigrants pouring across the border, we had peace for like 2 years straight. We didn't have to sweat. We didn't have to worry. If they were caught, they weren't catch and release. They were detained. Everything was done by the book. They were deported. They were sent out. They were even kept in Mexico before they were even allowed in process in Mexico. Okay, this person's good. You know, that's the way it is. And now what are we, 60 days or something like that into the administration. I've been keying April 30th is 100 days. So we get to 100 days, we're going to see what the gas prices are going to be like. We'll see what's going on. Did some bombing in Syria. These people are crazy. I don't know what's going on. But, folks, what happens when all these illegal aliens come across the border? People die. They're bringing drugs. People are trafficked. Sex trafficking of young people. Mass amounts of drugs. 90% of all fentanyl in this country comes across the southern border. These were facts and numbers that we had nailed down a long time ago. President Trump damn near stopped it. Teen gang members clear out of the country and cleaned up parts of Long Island, New York. They're ravaged by these guys from El Salvador. It's unfortunate. People are dying, and they will be dying again. And we've talked to angel parents so many times before, and I just had my Biden moment there. But that's all. Where am I? I got a card for this. But anyway, illegal immigration was curtailed, and now it's a tragic mess, and people are going to start dying again. We're going to have a whole new crew of angel families. I guess we have a new crew already. It's still occurring, just not a, it's going to accelerate now. Of course, pandemic proportions, you know. And Marianne, our featured guest tonight, son was killed at the hands of a drunk driving illegal alien. And so she has been fighting this battle for a long time. She actually had maybe a little bit of peace when President Trump was in office. And so now the peace is broken. This is a national like security breach. Like, I don't know. This is not national security. Marianne, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't think we would be, you know, I thought we were going to be beyond these kind of shows where we had to talk about this, but here we are.
It's absolutely disgusting what is happening that – you know, when this is all done and said, Mark, it would have been cheaper to finish building every bit of border fencing than it will be by the time we're done with the cost of what the Biden administration has done to this country and what American taxpayers are going to be left paying.
$86 million to house illegal immigrants in beautiful hotel rooms with hot showers and ice machines down the hallway with a vending machine. They probably got a phone and gift card to Walmart, all this kind of stuff. At the same time, we have homeless veterans. Now, we've always had homeless veterans under every administration. But to house illegal aliens in upscale and low scale, whatever, in hotel rooms across the country, while there's one homeless veteran, to me is a disgrace.
Well, and ponder this. When I was on a border trip down to the area near Roma, Texas, several years ago, it was right after President Trump had come into office and he was starting to clean up the mess. They had taken an adult activity center and turned it into a detention center for the illegals that were pouring into Roma, Texas. And within a week of them arriving there, the people going in to clean the restrooms there were having to wear hazmat suits because there was fecal matter on the walls. Women were throwing their sanitary napkins just all over the floor in the bathroom. They don't grasp the concept of flushing toilets from a lot of these third world countries that they're coming from.
Yes.
What damage and what hazmat situation are they going to be leaving in all of these hotels? And then these hotel owners are going to be coming to the federal government to rehab their hotel. So it's going to be another bill that the American taxpayers are going to be footing. It's disgusting the amount of money, this endless ATM that they think American taxpayers are. It sickens me.
Folks, I don't know if you recall one of the main reasons for revolution in this country, taxation without representation. And this, folks, is straight up taxation without representation. They are violating every single American, whether you agree with what's going on or not. A lot of people agree with, let's let them all in. But that's the deal, folks. That's the truth.
Every American is a victim of illegal alien immigration right now. Every American is. I mean, not as tragic as angel families have been, but you are all a victim at this point. And, you know, the Biden administration has over 17,000 children in their possession right now. Trump never had that many people, never had that many children. And we already saw from Project Veritas the pictures of these kids wrapped up and on the floor. So let me ask you this. They've interviewed many of the parents. You know, they send these young children. They know they're either going to get raped or killed along the way. They know that, and they send their children anyway. And so they arrive in the United States. They really don't have any identification. We don't know who they are. And so if they disappear into the child trafficking, sex trafficking industry here in the United States, who's going to miss them? Who's going to know that child is missing? This is the biggest child trafficking scam in our history, and the Biden administration is facilitating it.
I had a guest on from South Carolina, she's an attorney, and she was following a case. There was a boy that came around. He was a migrant or a refugee, and then he was there, and then he was gone, and nobody knew where he went. And so she started to try and follow his trail, and his trail dried up and went away. She believed that they sex trafficked him or human trafficked him somewhere. And
of course.
Like, it's crazy. And this is what's happening. Well, so they put him on a plane. They fly him somewhere where some guy says, yeah, I'm Uncle Jose, and this is Cousin Jose B, and we're down here at this place. You can send them here. And they're going down there with those people. And then those people are not their family. And then one of the things folks that don't understand, and what's good about having this show now, Marianne, is that, like, with internet radio, a lot of your crowd fluctuates. So we have a lot of new listeners right now, and they don't know a lot of this stuff. But the this crisis is not something new, but it's at the utmost upscale amount. It's up like hundreds and hundreds of percentage points compared to even Obama.
Right.
I mean, it was a mess under President Obama, but it's like in 2 months. Look what's happened.
Well, and in 2019, the cartel realized how much money they were losing with the human trafficking. And so the cartel is now in charge of the border. The cartel has a better handle on who's coming over our borders than our government does. They have a wristband system. And each cartel fraction has a different color wristband that they put on the people they're smuggling. It has a number on their wristband, which is put into a database that the cartel runs. They have contact information for their families back home. So the people who come over the border, they still owe the cartel money. And the cartel, by the way, is making $14 million a day, folks, $14 million a day smuggling people into our country. And they come in here still owing them money. And if they don't make the payments, then they will go after their families in their home country. Now, forward that into thinking, okay, now the Biden administration has okayed these $1,400 stimulus checks to go to illegals. And are these illegals using this $1,400 to pay off the cartel for their passage into the United States? So now they're forcing American taxpayers to foot the bill of paying off a terrorist organization.
Right. We'll get you to America for $1,399.99.
Yes.
I could see the ads now. I believe we were talking one day. I had Steve Ronnebeck on. You might have been on the call, too, and we had the young lady who was down on the border, and she brought on a Honduran migrant, migrant, who was on the Mexican side and interviewed him and said, yeah, it's on the TV. They're advertising it. You know, watch evening news, and yet – go to America. We got your free pass. Just join our caravan. It's like on the TV. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, and Todd Benzman, he's on Twitter. He's from Center of Immigration Studies. He's been down on the border doing amazing videos. If people have their Twitter accounts, go to Benzman Todd, B-E-N-S-M-A-N. And he's showing videos. There's huge busloads of Haitians. They're now being transported to Florida, which I don't know how Governor DeSantis is going to feel about this. I'm trying to get the information to him. I'm sure he's aware of it.
Yeah.
But these Haitians say, we want to go to Florida. So the government is accommodating them and paying their bus fees. And after the bus leaves Florida, they're going to be heading up to New Jersey because part of them wanted to go to New Jersey. And Todd Benzman is also telling us that these people are wanting to go to you know, Western Union or whatever, because they have their family sending them money and they want to go to the airports and fly. So these refugees with, quote, nothing, and he says they're very well dressed, nice tennis shoes, you know, clean clothes. I mean, come on. You have to be an idiot to think that these people are refugees.
You see some of them are like, you know, 200 pounds in brand new clothes with fancy cell phones, and they just walked 2,000 miles across Mexico. They looked like they just got out of Walmart with a new wardrobe.
Right. Yeah. It's just like the stories are unbelievable. And, you know, now this whole message that Secretary Mayorkas from Department of Homeland Security, moron, you know, saying, number one, our borders are secure. Everybody knows they're not. But he's saying, you know, the messaging is to these Central Americans, stay there. Let us get things under order. Well, the new article that's come out is because the Biden administration is planning to have flights from Central America to the United States with these illegals on them, so they don't have to make that trek and go through what they have to go through. So, again, American taxpayers are going to be paying for these flights just to bring a bunch of illegals into our country. And they're placing them, Mark, in red states because they feel that these people are going to be beholden to the Democratic Party. The Democrats want to stay in control forever. But these people do not want asylum, and they don't even want citizenship. They just want to come here, take American jobs, trash our country because they don't assimilate, and they just bring their culture and their trash to our country, and then go back home in a few years once they've set up their family, you know, really good in their home country. So all the things that the Democrats are –
The economy down there is so bad that all they have to do is work 5 years here and send their paychecks back, and when they get home, they'll be millionaires.
Well, and there's officials down there who are talking to reporters saying, these people are not being persecuted like you know, the United Nations and Pueblo Sin Fronteras and ACLU, all of them are making out. They are not being persecuted the way that they're all making it sound. And, you know, the United Nations is all about global migration, because they want to destabilize every single economy and every country that's doing well. That is their ultimate goal, to create this one world government. So this isn't just about... Yes.
The resistance of the people, the resistance of the people staved off Agenda 21. Hopefully we can build enough resistance to stave off Agenda 2030. If folks who don't know what that is, look into it. It's one world government, new world order, yada, 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 yada. That's all real. That's the plan. And you can believe
and
the
of
people
course,
like Pope went on it. They're all in on it.
You know, and Trump was smart enough to realize the United Nations was not even a good place for the United States to be a part of, as we weren't the Paris Accord and NAFTA and everything else that Biden has just willy-nilly put us all back into, because it's about destabilizing this country. And you know, we already see the agenda, you know, the white shaming that's going on and the white racism that's being created in this country, because they want us, they want people to stand down. They want you to shut up, and they want you to feel like you can't say anything because they're going to label you. You know, we have a right. God made us the way that we are and the skin color that we are. We're all human beings. But I'm never going to apologize for being white in the country. I've never treated people differently. The reason I'm so against what's happening in our country is because it's breaking our laws. And these people are becoming wards of American taxpayers. And we don't even have the infrastructure put into our country that we need, that we've needed for, it hasn't even been accomplished. Yet they will find $535 billion to spend on illegals to bring them all into our country.
Yeah, and it ain't getting any better, folks. These folks are coming here, and they don't care about our country. Like, think about the folks. Like me, Marianne, I'm sure, love legal immigrants. I love people who learn about the country, learn about the Constitution, learn the history of our country, what makes us a great nation, and then swear an oath to our country and become a citizen the correct way, with studying and lots of money. And they do this, and they work hard because they want to be a true contributing, law-abiding American citizen. these are the people I love. They can come on this country anytime they want. I welcome them with open arms. All countries, all nations, all religions, all races. I don't care. If you do it correctly and you follow the book, you're in. No questions asked. And I've met plenty of people that have come here in that manner, and they are not happy about what they're witnessing.
No.
They think it's a travesty, too. And for some reason, the leftists think people like Cubans vote for them. Cubans do not vote for Democrats. That is, and we could get into the Cuban community and spread that through the whole Latino community with brains and like common sense. Just, look, I'm not a smart guy. By any stretch you'd imagine, I got a high school education. That's it. And I've been working my whole life, blue-collar worker, taxpayer guy, middle class, you know, down right down the middle. And I don't ask nobody for nothing. And I don't think it's fair that people like me and Marianne will be paying this. And then we got to hand it off to our kids.
Right. Well, and do you know that last year, in 2020, during the pandemic in this country, when how many Americans were out of work, the people who are here illegally, and there are some legal immigrants who live here who send money home to their families, but $503 billion $503 billion left the United States in 2020 and was sent to other countries by Western Union, but in remittances from people, the majority of them are living here illegally. So all of that money is going out of our economy. We already send millions of dollars to these countries in foreign aid, and yet this, the $503 billion is probably going to double in 2021 of the money leaving our economy when we need it so bad to get our businesses up and running again.
And I'll tell you, someone who came here legally, has a job, owns a home, pays their taxes, and they have family back home, and they want to send money home after they paid all their taxes and they did everything the right way, that's okay with me. Like I said, legal immigration to me is fine. When you're an American citizen, you can donate money any way you want.
Right. Well, and there's this app online that illegals use, and they communicate with this attorney here in the United States. And so I have a woman who does research for me, and she sends me these things, you know, all day long. I get 25 to 50 articles a day from her and things, but this one chat really grabbed my attention because these people were asking, you know, how do we get there and work and what about paying taxes and everything? And this man actually was telling him, not the attorney, but another man on the chat was saying, I came here, I pay taxes, but I claim 5 ghost children who I don't have. And I get all my taxes back that I pay in. And plus the United States government pays me child credit taxes. I get refunds on my money. The stupid American government is paying me money to be here working. So all of these organizations that claim, oh, these people pay taxes, well, this is what they do to scam us out of more money.
Right. So they may be here legally and they may be paying taxes, but they're claiming 5 kids and getting $1,500 for each one. It's like almost $7,500 or something like that.
For kids that they do not even have. They don't even have kids.
Right. That's crazy. Unbelievable.
But, you know, what's funny, too, is, you know, when you think of identity theft and, you know, if you owe the IRS 10 cents, you're going to be getting a notice. They're going to pay 37 cents for a stamp and they're going to send you a notice, right?
Yeah.
But how does the IRS or Social Security Division not know that there's 5 or 6 or 10 tax returns being filed under one Social Security number in different states? How do they not keep track of this to protect Americans?
The agencies are failing miserably across the board right now. Agencies that were running pretty good for the last 4 years are now in total collapse. You know, look what they're doing even in like the military. If you voted for President Trump, they're going after those people. Like, I don't know what's going on with those on the left. I think they've really lost their mind, and their hatred for the last president is so great that nothing else matters. That's what
I feel. They sure are quiet. They sure are quiet. Where's all the Hollywood elite and the Congress people in D.C. who are screaming about the 585 children that were left over that Trump still had in, you know, with HHS, they got a hold of 545 of those parents in their home countries, and they said, we don't want our children back, because they were waiting for a Biden administration. And I called it weeks before this happened. But guess what's happening to those 585 children? They're being reunited with their families in the United States. They're bringing their families here to be reunited with those children that were left here.
Right.
And this is what's happening with all the, you know, whatever amount of the 17,000 plus unaccompanied minors who are here that end up, you know, not being put in child trafficking. They will be able to petition the Biden administration to have their mother and father and five siblings from Central America come and join them in the United States. So this 11 million people, illegals, that the amnesty bill talks about, first of all, it's more like 28 million. And if this continues the way it is now, Mark, it's going to be 50 million illegals in this country, and they're going to be 20% of our population within years.
It's scary. And they will, and folks, I got to tell you, maybe this sounds crazy, but they will outbreed Americans 3-1, maybe 4-1. That's a guarantee.
I'm looking at pictures of these women who are down there at the border, and they're carrying a toddler in their arms, and they're pregnant again. And there's no man around. And there's an older child trailing along behind them. And I just was listening to a former DEA officer. He was on Steve Bannon's War Room. He was saying that there is a 361% increase of fentanyl coming over the borders. And, you know, when you piece that all together, Biden loves China. China produces fentanyl. Fentanyl sends it to the cartel. The cartel distributes it into the United States through the southern border. And therefore, Joe Biden needed open borders to keep his Chinese counterparts happy. You know, when you piece everything together, it's absolutely sickening how this man who's occupying the White House really doesn't give a damn about our country.
Because you know why? He knows he's in decline, and next year he's going to be in the ground. He don't care.
Right.
Obviously doesn't really love his family, because if he did, he wouldn't leave them in this. But hey, you know, what does he care? He'll be dead. He don't care.
Then they all have enough money to leave the country and go live on Epstein's Island, so.
You know, he'll have a hospice on Epstein Island.
Oh, my goodness. It's frightening. It's actually frightening to me how unaware so many of my fellow Americans are, too, about what's happening and the way things are being kept out of mainstream media, and how Mayorkas and Psaki and, you know, all of them lie. And to think now that they've put Kamala Harris in charge of the immigration issue when she called ICE the KKK and, you know, wants to let everybody who comes across our border illegally, did she think any of them needed to be deported? No. I mean, these were all the things she was saying during campaigning and years prior to that. And this is a person that Biden puts in charge of this mess?
Yeah.
God help us.
He knows that she's going to be president, so this is a test run to see if she can handle it.
Yeah.
Because I get this feeling that by August it'll be President Harris.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, falling down the stairs three times, trying to get on a plane, and, you know, we all know that he's not all with it. It's just sad.
Come on, that was the wind. The wind blew him over. And Trump didn't maintain the stairs, so it's Trump's fault.
Right.
You know? For crying out loud.
I don't know.
Biden's perfectly fine. He's cognitive as can be. He's all there. You saw the press conference bloopers today. There was like no bloopers, none at all. You know, only like 25 or 30.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and you know, when I think about the schools, you know, they want schools and restaurants at 50% capacity because of COVID. But it's okay to have these detention centers at 1,500% capacity. And, you know, that those videos that Todd was showing of these Haitians on the buses getting ready to go to Florida, a good 50% of them didn't even have their masks on in these buses. And the COVID testing is just so erratic. It's like maybe it happens, maybe it doesn't. Even if they're positive, they put them on buses just to get them out of there. And and now the Border Patrol is releasing them without even giving them a court date. They're just releasing them because they're overwhelmed.
And they can't sit there and do the paperwork. So it's crazy. It's so sick. There's one town
in
Texas.
But we don't have open borders.
One town in Texas, they're coming over the border. One in four has the virus.
Yes. Yeah, and now they're going to put them on planes and fly them up to the Canadian border to process them up there because, you know, there's Pennsylvania and a few other states that they need to get more populated with these illegals because, you know, could be a problem in 2022 in the midterms. There's, you know, certain states that they're just going to focus on.
Yep, and we got one. I'm right down here in the Sunshine State, and we're going to have to maybe get word out to this governor here in Florida. If anybody has got a good connection to Governor DeSantis and you happen to be listening or watching, like we had Anthony Sabatini on the show here just a minute ago, I'm sure he can get to him and let him know that buses are en route with Haitians ready to vote blue.
Yeah, and if Anthony gets the video that's on Todd Benzman's Twitter, he has a whole report on there. He put his clip from War Room on there, and he explains everything that's happening down there with these Haitians and how they're heading by busloads to Florida. You know, and I know Governor DeSantis has ICE agents out and about. I mean, Governor DeSantis does not play ball with these people. And that's one governor with a background, with a backbone, man.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I live down here in the Sunshine State, and we love it. I don't wear masks nowhere. I go to work every day. I never miss a day of work. You know, I never.
We've got Governor Ducey here, and you know he went down to the border. You've got the mayor of Gila Bend, which is a very small community, south and west of the Phoenix area. And they're dropping off hundreds, if not 1,000 immigrants into that small community. And the mayor is just crying out for the help because they don't have the facilities or the resources to help these people. And then you have the dumb mayor of Mesa, Arizona, does an interview with Breitbart saying, and he's a Republican, saying he's so proud of the job that Biden's doing with the immigration and at the border. And Mesa's not affected by this. And if they need to bring illegals to Mesa, bring them here. Well, there's going to be a protest led by Maryam Mendoza at the mayor's office if this really starts getting implemented here in Mesa. And this is what every one of your listeners need to start doing. You need to stand up to your local officials because those are the people who are going to make the decisions if they're going to allow mass amounts of illegals in your communities.
Right. Right on. And we had a problem down here in the Sunshine State, I don't know, five, six years ago, we thought it was a big deal because they were sneaking the buses out. They were kind of like hiding and doing it like shifty, shady, underhanded way of getting the people on the bus. They go into a church, they get processed, they go out to church, back door on a bus, and off they would go. We had a nice lady over there, Stacy, in Murrieta, California, Stacy Barth with the Murrieta bus blockade. People were standing up back then, and you know, they were trying to sneak. But they're not sneaking anymore. That's over. They don't have to sneak.
Well, they are sneaking busloads of these children to a lot of the detention centers because, you know, I don't think the Biden administration really wants us to know how many children they have in their custody. Why is it that the media is kept out of these detention centers? Why are they keeping elected officials out of them? I mean, the few that they've let in there. Yeah.
We know why, Marianne.
Oh, yeah.
Because Project Veritas got inside and took the pictures and showed us why.
Yep. I love him. I mean, to get in a plane and fly over the detention center there, those tents that they had put up, you know, when they're screaming at him that he has to get out of there, it was like, the guy's brilliant, just exposing all this stuff.
Yeah, and that's good stuff. And people still deny it, like, you know, it's crazy. It's so crazy. Like, the proof is right there. Pictures do not lie. Well, nowadays they do, I guess, with Photoshop and everything. You can make a bullcrap photo. So pictures can lie. But if you like, actually take your camera and take a picture and don't doctor at all, that picture don't lie.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and unfortunately, I feel for the next American victim because I know how devastating this can be to your life when in the blink of an eye, your life has changed forever and a loved one is ripped out of your life. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi has said in the past that Americans that have been killed by illegals are basically collateral damage. And, oh, well, you know, and I know that there's going to be many more people joining our ranks. And it's a very sad thought to me.
It's going to be more angel families than we can shake a stick at, and it's not right. And because if the laws were followed, big, huge percentages of these angel families would never, might not even know what an angel family is, you know?
Right. Well, and I've got something that I'm working on, Mark. I've actually talked to an attorney, and I actually talked to Congressman Andy Biggs, my wonderful representative here in Arizona, and he said that he would support this 100%. I have an attorney, and I'm going to be having up on my website next week. I'm getting things ready to put up there. If people want to go to angelfamilies.org and donate, we are going to bring a lawsuit against the Biden administration for not upholding their oath, for aiding, abetting, and harboring illegals in our country, for allowing a foreign invasion, and we are going to demand that they finish the contracts that were already in place with the border wall. Those contractors were just stopped on January 20th. They've already been paid taxpayer money. The product, the still, you know, ballards have already been made. They're down there sitting in the desert, rotting now in Arizona and in Texas. And anybody who wants to donate can join. It's going to be a class action lawsuit.
Excellent. Is there a website for that? Hold on. Let me bring it up. Is there a website for that?
It's going to be angelfamilies.org. I'm going to have a separate link on there to donate towards this lawsuit. I'm going to need $50 to $1,000 to get this lawsuit started. You know, and in my discussion with the attorney, it probably will be turned down at the federal level because I'm in the Ninth Circuit here. But we'll go to appeals, and he said it'll be probably a total of $300,000 to $500,000 to take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and that is my goal.
Right. So let's do it, folks. I put the website right there on the live feed. It's
It'll be next Monday. Next Monday, the link will be up to donate towards this lawsuit. And, you know, because Andy Biggs was telling me, we were at a precinct meeting, and he was on a Zoom call, and he said, unfortunately, there's nothing Republicans can do in D.C. right now to stop what's happening with Joe Biden, his executive orders, and all these terrible things that Nancy Pelosi is bringing through Congress and ramming through, and Chuck Schumer, the rat. There's nothing they can do. Andy Biggs is the head of the Freedom Caucus, and he's doing all that he can do to slow things down from being processed. And that's when I said to him, then is this the right time for the American citizens to bring a lawsuit against the administration? And he goes, absolutely. I would support it 100%. So this is it.
Is Andy a congressman or a senator? He's a congressman, right?
He's a congressman out of Arizona, yes.
Congressman Andy Biggs supporting the angelfamilies.org and their push to sue the administration for these things that were mentioned here.
The biggest thing is allowing a foreign invasion.
Right.
You know, you look at our Constitution.
And that link's going to be up what day?
Next Monday.
Next Monday. So you see the link there. Go to that link, angelfamilies.org, next Monday, and you'd be a part of the class action lawsuit and try to get an end to this madness, because they've got the cages are intense so that.
And I encourage all your listeners to share the website next week. We need to get as many people on board with this. You know, like I said, it's going to be $50,000 to $100,000 just to get the ball rolling and get this all filed with the federal courts. And the longer we wait, the worse this mess that our country is going to be in.
Right. And one of the biggest things for me is how many – we're getting around the corner for COVID, and these people are coming in here. In one town, 25% of the people are positive, and they're not being quarantined. They're being, well, here's the hotel. Go stay in the hotel, okay? You know, they're expecting them to quarantine themselves, I guess. And then people are like, no, and they're leaving. They don't even stay. They got a hotel. They go somewhere else.
Well, hasn't Dr. Fauci and the Biden administration warned us of a third wave coming? Well, they're creating it for us.
Yep, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see here now in the next 3 months, 4 months, there's going to be a huge spike in COVID, and they're going to scream and yell about the vaccine. And they're going to make a push for the dark vaccine, because that's the end goal, vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And this is the dark winter that Biden warned us about. This is it. This is what's happening. Our country's being invaded, folks.
It's an invasion. The amount of children is up over 300% over just a month ago. That percentage is probably even higher now than they keep coming.
They were saying today that one child every 2 minutes is what's crossing our borders.
Crazy, folks. This is really a problem. You really need to speak to your friends and family and neighbors. Tell everybody that we're being invaded. It really is, because not only we got a stimulus for $600, it was part of this $2,000, and while we were getting six, they were getting 1,800 illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting $600 morsels, and they were getting 1,800. And like you said, the one woman had ghost children, so he got 1,800. And then whatever, however many kids he had there, they got 1,800. And so these people are fleecing the country of our tax dollars right now. It's really crazy. We are in the midst of a national security emergency.
Yes.
But if you watch TV, it's like, oh, Joe Biden, he's such a great guy. Look, he's trying so hard to help these wayward people that are coming here with teardrop tattoos and coyotes carrying drugs and human trafficking, sexual assault, and all kinds of crimes. They're trudging across the country. Crazy.
Well, and I want to remind your listeners to go to the website ncfire.info for North Carolina, ncfire.info, and take a look at how many children are raped and sexually assaulted by illegals in North Carolina. And the previous governor of North Carolina had actually made it an anti-sanctuary state. 2018 midterm elections, three Democratic sheriffs were voted in, and they immediately turned their counties into sanctuary counties. So it's an added layer of protection. So if in any of those three counties an illegal is arrested for sexually assaulting a child, they will be just released right back out into their communities. So if any of your listeners live in a sanctuary city, county, or state, start a movement to stop those practices in your communities, because with everything that's happening at the border now, I'm guaranteeing you that these elected officials who have put these policies in place are going to be fighting tooth and nail for those illegal criminals over you. And you can commit the same crime as those illegals, and you will be punished accordingly. But they will be given a slap on the wrist, and that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I wonder what would happen if you went down there and on the American side and had a Mexican or a Guatemalan flag burning ceremony. What would happen?
Right. Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if anybody's got the nerve to try it. I would never do it. I don't suggest anybody do it. It's probably a crime. If someone out there has got some balls and don't care, don't do it. Please don't. But, sheesh, I wonder what would happen.
So you have Nancy Pelosi who feared for her life on January 6th because Americans were trying to stand up for their rights and say, we know we've been an election has fraudulently been stolen from us, which I 100% agree. I'm going to be involved in the recount here in Maricopa County. We're going to be recounting 2.1 million ballots here very soon. But
that's amazing.
She's scared for a few minutes, and erects that fencing, double fencing with razor wire on top of it. But do you think that Nancy Pelosi cares one bit about our safety? No, they won't even finish the border wall. They won't even secure our country.
They surround themselves with a wall to keep the evil people from getting in. I don't know if you listen to the show or not, but recently I was talking about, were those people insurrectionists at the Capitol? Or were they people, according to this fantastic document that was given to us by our forefathers, felt there was a government that no longer represented them, and they were there to cast them out to get a new one that does.
Right.
Who knows? Who's the expert? If I was in that mess, that's what I would say in court. And I would say, you are no longer representing me, so throw me in the clink because I don't care. I'm not listening to you.
The majority of them aren't representing us. Yeah, and Pelosi knows. Pelosi knows that the majority of Americans have no patience for her any longer. And all of these things, you know, the Voting Act and the Amnesty Act and everything that they're shoving through so quickly through Congress and getting it to the Senate is because, you know what, I honestly feel like there's enough patriotic Americans in this country that we are going to make a difference in 2022. I mean, Frank, he just got sworn in as a precinct committee man last Thursday. I'm on a waiting list. But we are registering voters. We are getting out there, and this is what your listeners need to do. Look into becoming a precinct committee man. Get involved in the GOP movement. We cannot let what's going on fraction the Republican Party. We cannot start a new party. We have got to come together, get rid of the rhinos who are in our party. But I think that Pelosi knows her reign of terror will be over in 2022 because the Republicans are going to be out in force, and we're going to get control of the House and the Senate again.
We bet. That's what I'm saying. We could maybe fight. That's why they're working so hard. I think they know that the midterms are going to be a red landslide, and they have to do what they have to do right now to destroy as much of the country as they can. Because, you know, once it's written into law, folks, it usually never changes. It's really, and when it does, it's a battle. You got to have lobbyists fighting and protests and sign wavings and yeehaw, you know, really push letter writing, phone calling, you know, rah, rah, rah. It takes 2 years to get anything turned around. It's crazy. But that's what
Why Pelosi's pushing this Voter Act, because they know what's going to happen in 2022 to them. And so they've got to get as much fraud on the records, legal fraud, to be able to keep the power. And, you know, this really was planned for 2016 of what happened in 2020, but President Trump came along and saved us for 4 years is the way I look at it. You know, held us off for 4 years. They had 4 years to figure out how much more fraud they needed to commit in order to steal the election. And they are working tirelessly behind the scenes. And we have got to make the difference. It's up to us now. We're the last stand.
We have to do like the last election for president. Flood the polls so much that they have to shut it down because, oh, my God, the other guy's getting too many votes and we can't keep ahead.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know how these people are not, like, I don't know, man. The deep state is way deeper than we ever thought. The swamp is so thick with quicksand, and we're all sinking. We're sinking as one big, gigantic family of patriotic Americans, and we're watching it happen, and it's sickening to me that there are people in this country who hate the country this much. I don't understand, like, why? They're multimillionaires because they live in this country. They want to destroy
it. Trump drained the swamp low enough for us to see who's there, but, you know, he wasn't able to drain it completely. You know, I would really suggest to your listeners that they get the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, and it was a very big eye-opener for me, and I think a lot of your listeners would be shocked reading that book to really understand the inner workings of our country and how much is run by people who aren't even in the government.
Right.
And
you can watch Marjorie Taylor Greene these days is in there fighting hard. She's kind of blown away by what she's witnessing. And then we got a gentleman here in Florida. His name's Anthony Sabatini, and he's of the same mold. He will stand there and make them do roll call votes and make them come back, the whole crowd. If that's what it took to get everybody in, I would do it on every bill, every day, all day long. And everybody's got to be there. You can't send some guy in there with your vote on a pad. No, that's bull crap. I don't care how bad the virus is. Get off your chair and get in there and do your job.
Well, and I think a lot of the Democrats don't want their vote recorded because they know there's going to be some backlash. You know, and this is the famous way that the House does it. But you know, you've got good people like Jim Jordan and Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar here from Arizona. You've got good people who push for those sort of things to happen when the vote is taken. And, you know, those are the kind of true Americans who are representing us in D.C. that we need to make sure there's more of them. You know, you've got Lauren Boebert from up in Colorado. You've got Madison Cawthorn from North Carolina. You've got some great people. And I know Trump is really weeding through some of the people and hopefully going to get us a good list of people that we need to support, you know, to keep the Make America Great Again agenda going.
You know, you said the congressperson from Colorado, and that reminds me now of this horrible incident. God, you know, be with the families that are affected by this horrible incident, by this Syrian guy, I think he's an anchor baby. I'm not sure. Please don't quote me on that and forgive me if I'm wrong. But here you go. What is this? This is, you know, 60 days or something into the administration, and we've had 10 publicized mass shootings already. Huh.
Well, and the timing is perfect. The timing is perfect because of their gun grabbing agendas that they've got. And, you know, I really hate to say this, but when you read the book, The Killing of Uncle Sam, you realize that the CIA and some other organizations in our country are not beyond allowing people to be killed to promote their agenda. And really, they have no regard for human life. And it's a very, it's a very wide, it's really a book that I felt so uneducated when I was done reading it. But I'm telling you what, it explains so much of what has happened in our country. And the Syrian guy up there in Colorado, he was actually brought here when he was 3 years old. But, of course, they're claiming now it's mental illness because, of course, they could never say it was a terrorist act, even though he supports ISIS and you know, hated Trump and all that. And if it was a black person who had done it, it wouldn't be on the news anymore. And if it was a white person, it would be a terrorist, you know, a national terrorist, you know, a domestic terrorist attack. And they're claiming now mental illness, which is the biggest thing now, well, with Steve Ronnebeck's son, Grant Ronnebeck, who was assassinated by an illegal here in Mesa, Arizona. You know, his is mental, I can't remember the word now. Basically, like he didn't understand what he was doing. So this will be any of these illegals or any of these refugees who commit this sort of crime, they will go to the mental issues, and that will be their out from facing, you know, the serious punishment you or I would for doing the same thing.
Right. It's crazy. It's crazy to call them crazy. Oh, moly, it's nuts. So next Monday is the big kickoff for the class action lawsuit.
Angel for the family fundraiser to get the money for me to be able to get it started and off the ground, yes.
And so next Monday, folks should go to
angelfamilies.org. I'll have a big header at the top of the page.
Is there a Facebook group or page to also follow and support for updates and things?
Angel Families United is my Facebook page.
All righty. Angel Families United.
And you can also go on Google Podcasts. I have a podcast that's called The Illegal Angle. And, you know, I'm not on a set schedule, but when a lot of things come up, I'll get a podcast done and put on there. I think I have 5 podcasts on there right now. But I'm just trying to get information out as it's coming into me. I mean, it's flooding me. There's so much. I could do a podcast every day, but I just don't have the time because I'm sorting through so much of this, the crime and gathering statistics and getting on as many radio shows as I can and podcasts to get the word out to my fellow Americans to get a backbone and fight with me.
And don't be shy as this crisis continues to unfold. You just send me a message and say, I got an update. Can I come on? You always got a spot here.
Thank you. And if they have any questions, they can email me. It's Marianne, M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, at angelfamilies.com is my email address.
All right. So
and if it's going to be a hate email, keep it to yourself.
Marianne at angelfamilies.com?
Yes.
All right. I'm putting it on the live feed.
Thank you. And like I said, anybody who donates to this cause, their name will be added to the class action lawsuit against the Biden administration.
Marianne@angelfamilies.com. Send an email. There you go. All right, folks. You heard it here. Doing great things to help in this fight to keep America America. You know, and yeah. I got a 10-year-old son. I'm afraid that if I live 25 years, I'm going to leave him in such a mess. It's going to be unbelievable. I don't know. Praying that we can save this nation, not for me, not for you, not for anybody. And, you know, if the fight's going to come, let it come now so that my kids can live free.
Yes. And so that we've got the time to teach them how to fight for their country.
Right. You know, that's people have no understanding, it seems. It's really upsetting at times, the path that we're in right now, and that people actually support it. Gas is going up. They drop bombs in Syria in the first month of the administration. It's fanatical. And folks, just get involved. Angelfamilies.org next Monday. Get involved.
Thank you.
Angelfamilies.com. Marianne@angelfamilies.com. And check out ncfire.com too. You'll be shocked.
Ncfire.info.
.info. Oh, you better put it on there, right?
ncfire.info.
ncfire.info.
So, yep.
There you go. That's
that will make your that will be a gut punch when you start reading all that.
There you go. Marianne, I want to thank you so much. And again, if you have updates, you want to come on, you want to promote your organization or your class action lawsuit to help you drum up some help, please come on anytime. Just send me a message. Show is Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Just get me before the show. You can even if it's a short segment and I bring you in towards the end of the show just to bring a website or a donate or something, whatever. We'll get you on any show anytime. Always.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate you and what you do.
No problem. And we'll continue to fight, you know. We'll continue to fight.
Yes.
What we do. God bless you and take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Marianne Mendoza, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again to a great patriot who's fighting hard to stem the horde of illegal immigration in this country. Next week, I think I'm going to use this. I'll have my friend join me. Maybe I'll start texting, see if you'll join me next week, and we'll talk a little bit about the 14th Amendment because it goes right along with all of this. And that'll be next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And it's a wrap here. I want to thank James and our crew there at Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation, for always doing their best to keep our show rolling. We're really rocking, and we're having a good time. So that's Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, next week, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And now's the time where we stand for the national anthem and salute our flag with our friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. If you want this version, you can get it. It's on his album, Storyteller Edition. You know, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. This is the Star Spangled Banner. I'm probably going to have an ad. Always has an ad these days. Folks, till we meet again next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Thank you, and see you next.